I listened to that song over and over and over many times in my life when I needed to know that there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. I appreciate that tonight. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Brother Ed was preaching the other night about if you had your shine on. I thought with the lights in this church, a lot of people had their shine on. I'm one of them. Amen? Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this title of Open Doors Bring Opposition. Open Doors Bring Opposition. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9 says, "For a great door of affection is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for tonight. Lord, I pray that you just speak through me, give me the words to say, help me not to say anything that wouldn't glorify you. And God, we just love you tonight. What a blessing to be in your house, and I pray that you would just speak to our hearts, show us something that might help us in our daily walk and encourage us, Lord. And God, we'll just give you all the honor and praise for anything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I would ask you to pray for... I'm stalling. I'm trying to do something on this side that I forgot to do. Pray for our church in Bolivia. We just split up this last week was the last week that we had Michael's church joined with our church in two of the services every week, and now he's taken over all the services, so we're lacking about 40 people in a couple of our services, but there's great opportunity in that. Amen. To fill that spot up again, but it's good for Michael's church. They're more on their own, and he was telling me I think they had almost 70 today, and it's a real blessing. But open doors bring opposition. I'm telling you this not to discourage, but to help you. Amen? Because a lot of times we look at open doors, we're excited about open doors that are come along in our life, but we do need to be ready for what will come on the other side of open doors. A lot of times, I remember when God called me to preach, that was a huge open door to be able to have the opportunity to go and preach the gospel wherever He would have me go. But there was a lot of opposition. Once I took off in that direction and began to do the will of God and search out His will, go to Bible college. I remember in Bible college I thought everything was just going to run smooth because, you know, I'm totally sold out. My life has been given to the Lord. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm in the middle of His will. I was just real naive of how a lot of these things work, you know, and a lot of my life I was going against the Lord and against His will. And even though He had opened doors for me as a young man, a lot of those doors I didn't step in and take advantage of. But when He called me to preach, went to Bible college, I thought, you know, God's going to give me a good place to live. He's going to give me a great job. And in Bible college, and man, you know, I don't think there was any Christians at my job. The place I lived was a trailer house and I do thank the Lord for these years that I passed through these years. But looking back, I think, you know, I remember we had to hang up sheets in our living room and we would turn on the stove and try to, because the living room and the kitchen were together, try to just warm that area because there were holes in the walls of the trailer. And there was tough times. When you thought, or when you think, you know, I'm giving my life to the Lord and I'm going to serve Him with everything I've got. A lot of times we just think that all things are just going to fall into place. But there's a lot of opposition once you begin to step out by faith and trust the Lord in things. When God opens doors in your life to service, witness, to obey Him, I think there's a danger of just saying there's a door open in our life and then just jumping through it. You know, because maybe it's not a door that God has opened. That is a huge part of getting in this message is learning how to realize this is what God has for me and the direction God has for me. When God opens a door, there's a few things that we can find out. How do you know that it's God that's opening that door? That's one question that I would have. Does it align with God's Word? You know, it's never going to go against God's Word if He is the one that's opened the door. I use an iPad because I can make things really big, but it is, I'm having to use glasses and on top of making everything at 25 font. God will never open a door that leads you into sin or away from obedience to His Word. The Bible says in Psalms 19:105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Does it align with God's Word? That's one question that you ought to ask whenever a door is open in your life. Is it confirmed by the Holy Spirit or godly counsel? Proverbs 11:14 says, "In the multitude of counselors, there is safety." I think that's another good way for us to judge, is this what God has for my life? And then another way that we can know that it's God's will is the timing right? Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." You know, I think that those are a few things that we need to make sure we know. Is this a door that God has opened? Or is this just a door that is open for me and my family? Because you find a lot of people that make mistakes by going through a door that God has not opened. And a lot of times when it's tempting, when it's an opportunity, because an open door is an opportunity, a lot of times we are tempted to try to make it into God's will to going through that door. But these are some things that will help us. Is it in line with God's Word? You think about that. If God is moving you from this church to another area for your job, if there's not a good church in that area, unless you plan to start it, it's probably not God's will. Amen? I think God moves a Christian from a church to another church. I don't think He just leaves us hanging until, you know, and have to just be satisfied with whatever's there. I believe God will put a place, when He moves a Christian, He's going to put a place for you to go to. And I do believe that God will use godly counsel in our life to help direct us in those decisions, and the timing will always be right. You know, I have a man in my church right now that started out with us when we were in our home. He's from Venezuela. His wife and his kids are such a blessing in our church. They do a lot. He teaches Sunday school. He's my youth pastor. Just a great preacher. He's finishing up Bible college. But he may end up leaving and going and working with another missionary, good friend of mine. There's opportunity there. But I don't know if that door is a door that God has opened or that there's this opportunity. I ask you to pray with me about that. Because if it is a door that God is opening, God has a replacement for our church. Amen? But when we make decisions out of things that we just choose to do and try to justify, and not at all am I saying that this is something that he is doing, because when I've talked to him, he plans on staying at our church. But I want you to know tonight, I'm not worried about it. When a man makes a decision and knows that it's God that's moving, then we shouldn't have to worry about the decision that's made. They're going to be okay, and we're going to be okay. Amen? And so, open doors. One thing, when God opens a door, there's two things that you can know for sure, that the door is from Him. That is something that He is doing for you, and there will be opposition. There will be opposition. And I think any time that you follow the Lord and you begin to step out by faith, you will find opposition in your life. It's biblical. You'll find opposition. And you know, the devil doesn't fight what isn't a threat. A lot of Christians, they don't have a big battle on their hand because they're not a threat to the devil. You know, he's okay with you coming Sunday morning and you know, maybe even three times a week. He might be all right with that, and he might be all right that you even give your tithe. But if you begin to go a little bit further and step out by faith you know, there's going to be a fight on your hand. Now, if your custom is to just come once a week and you've made the decision to go three times a week, there might be a fight on your hand. The devil doesn't fight what isn't a threat. You know, I've seen many people make decisions to serve the Lord and give up because it's not easy. It's not easy. There's always opposition. You know, whether it's, it thrills me to see on Wednesday night here, people coming to church. You know, a lot of people wouldn't come to church because they don't have time to go home and shower and get ready and get here. But many of you just show up because you've made the decision, I'm going to be there. I'm not going to allow the devil to win that battle in my life. What a blessing. What a blessing. But that is a true battle that people fight with. And many have yet to win that battle. So number one tonight, God opens doors for His people. Isn't that good? God opens doors for His people. For you, God will open doors. And in that verse that we read, it says great doors. Any door that God opens is going to be great. Amen. That just excites me. The things that He is God prepared for me, the direction that He leads me, is not just a little thing. It's big. And it doesn't matter what it is. To Him, it's big. It's important. Brother Oakley was telling me about the opportunities that God has given him to go into the prisons. I went to a prison only one time, not here in the United States. I went to one in Bolivia. I really didn't have much desire to go back. You know, that's not a ministry that I envy. It's not. Not to say if the Lord opens up that door and gives me the direction to go, I want to be obedient and go into it, but what an opportunity. He was telling me how that God has used him in ways that he never thought. But that's what happens when we go into the door that God opens. God does great things with our life. How many people are missing out on the great things that God has for them? Because they have yet to step through the door that God has opened for them. I'm excited about the opportunity this Friday going to Belize. Amen. Never been there. Amen. I'm just giving Pastor a hard time. There's a pastor that supports me, and every time he introduced me, he said, "This brother Elsie going to Belize." And I just never tell him any different. I mean, I talk about Bolivia, but he still calls Belize. But I'm looking forward to the opportunity. Revelation 3:8 says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." You know, it says, no man can shut it. If God opens the door in our life, there's nobody that can shut that door. God can shut the door, but there's no one else that can shut that door. You know, it's not man didn't open it, man can't shut it. It wasn't money that opened it. It wasn't your fame or status or whatever that opened it. When God opens up doors, there's nothing that can stop. You think about when David, when God opened up the door for David to confront Goliath, the giant, there was nothing that could have stopped that, because God put him in a direction, and God's purpose was that he take out the giant, to show the Israelites that God was in control. So, you know, God opened the door, and nobody could stop what God put in motion. When David walked through, I guess we ourselves could stop. You know, if God is opening a door in your life, don't wait before walking through. One of my best friends, love him to death, many times when there's a decision to be made, he'll say, I'm going to pray about it, brother. And I'm all about praying. But I'm talking sometimes months, years. And sometimes you have to make a decision. Amen? I think God will give us a direction. But sometimes we're just slow to make a decision. Slow to walk through the door that God has, the opportunity that God has given us. I remember as a young man, God gave me an opportunity to go to Mexico, and I felt like God opened up the door. I felt like Mexico was where God was going to use me as a missionary, working in a children's home. Years ago, I believe that was the direction the Lord had, something the Lord had put on my heart years ago. You know, sometimes we can look back and we think, you know, maybe God put that in my mind, my heart, to move me to where I am now. I don't know, but I remember a missionary from Mexico. He told me, he said, "Brother," I said, "I think I need to go to Bible college." And he said, "Brother, if you go to Bible college, you'll forget about these kids. You'll forget about this children's home. You'll forget about this ministry. And you know what? I went to Bible college, and I forgot about all that." He was right. And I don't know if I missed out. I don't know if that was an open door. I always wonder what would have happened if I would have went that way. You know, my whole family, everything that took place in my life would have been different. Would have been different. I do think that sometimes there's doors that are open in our life that God has opened, and we do not make a decision to go through. And we miss opportunity that God had for us. Big things that God had for us. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. You know, open doors that God has opened, they require action. We have to respond. I mean, it wears me out sometimes just asking people where you want to go to eat. And then somebody in the groups make the decision, all right, we're going here. And everybody's like, no, we don't want to go there. You know? Somebody is decisive. And everybody's like, no, not there again. As Christians, we need to be able to recognize, is this where God wants us to go? Is this the direction the Lord wants us to go? And then begin to do it. Don't wait. You'll miss opportunity if you wait. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy, or do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Give it your best. Once you take off in a direction, give it your best. Sometimes you'll miss out on opportunities. You know, some people are waiting for perfect conditions. You know, there's some people that'll never get married because they're waiting for the perfect person. I had somebody call me yesterday and was just talking and things, and then got around to asking me about Michael, my son Michael, and if, long story short, if he was available. you know, this is a pastor, and he has a daughter, and had interest, and I think a while back Michael had some interest, but the door has shut. Michael's eyes in a different direction. Amen. This is news to many people. In a different direction. You know, sometimes we just wait. We're slow about making a decision and we miss out on what God has for us. Move forward. Are you willing to step out in faith even when everything is not convenient or comfortable? You know, I think about whenever we went to Bolivia, when Brooke and I went, I had been there, lived there for years, and we went back to Bolivia. I wanted to move to Santa Cruz. In reality, I didn't want to move to Santa Cruz. I enjoy being out in the sticks and out in the country and working with those type of people. But I didn't want to take Brooke out there. I didn't tell her this at that time, but I didn't want to take her out there and not have a lot of things that she is used to. You say, well, y'all are called to go to Bolivia and these things. You know, when Brooke moved to Bolivia or when Brooke went to Bolivia the very first time, she moved to Bolivia. She did not take a trip beforehand and visit Bolivia and say, no, my opinion is that we don't go here. Her first time to Bolivia was not coming back. She moved there. And so we were out there and then we ended up moving to Ribaralta, and you know what? There's no Walmart out there. There's no regular grocery store. You can go in some of the grocery stores and you see things on the shelves, and then whenever you begin to look at the things, you realize none of this is anything that I want. And I think about, you know, the meat is that we eat and buy, and sometimes we look at it and we think, no, I ain't buying that. Because it just all hangs. And the ones that have been there, they know that the dirt roads are just, it's red dirt. And it just sticks to that meat, and you know, you got flies and all that stuff. It's not very appealing. The other day I was here, I don't know where we're at here in the States, but I turned on the water. I think one of my kids were washing a plate. That's unusual. That's news. That's news. One of them was washing a plate, and they just turned on the hot water, had some soap and a sponge, and washed it right there. And I said, man, that would be a blessing if we had that in Bolivia. We heat water. And, you know, I'm not saying these things that... when I begin to feel sorry for myself, I drive around my town and I get over that real quick. I've got a nice house. I've got a nice car. I've got nice things. And all I have to do is go down the street and see somebody living in a dirt floor and a house that you can see through and don't have near the things that I have. So I'm not saying those things. But sometimes we don't step through a door because it's not comfortable. It's not convenient in our life. The other day I came down to... I've decided... I think Texas is just as hot as Ribadalta. It's hot here. I was at my grandmother's funeral the other day, and we were packed out in this little church, and we all went outside afterwards, and I was just pouring with sweat. And I told Brooke, I said, man, this place is as hot as Ribadalta. I said, the only difference about being in that church today than Ribadalta is that church had air conditioned and had padded pews. I think that's the only difference. But you know what? Sometimes it may not be comfortable or convenient to step in the door that God has for you. Every open door comes with opposition. At the end of the verse that we read at the beginning, 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door of affection is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Satan doesn't like obedient Christians. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, I have yet to seen persecution like some Christians have seen persecution. Sometimes we feel persecuted, you know, somebody slammed their door in our face or something, but you know, there are Christians that die for our faith. That die for our faith. Paul says there'll be a resistance. If you're doing the will of God, there's going to be a resistance. There's going to be a crowd out there that doesn't like what you're doing. You know, how many times have you seen somebody feel like they're getting victory? They come and they spend some time on the altar and they maybe give up a bad habit or give up something that is hindering their walk with the Lord. And then shortly after that, you don't even find them in church anymore. I mean, they walked through a door, they saw an opportunity, and they wanted to get victory. And then you don't even see them in church anymore. The reason I'm preaching the message is because there's a lot of opportunity that God gives to us, His people. But there is resistance. We have to realize that to serve God, we are going to face resistance. We're going to face things against us. When a man or a woman decides to give to missions or begin to tithe, it breaks your heart to see maybe that man lose his job. You just want to pick up the slack for him. But you know what? God's bigger than that. He's not counting on you to take up the slack for them. He wants them to stay faithful. through the decision that they made. Faithful through the decision that they made. You know, years ago, when I was pastoring Gospel Light Baptist Church in Rogers, Arkansas, I remember Brother Marvin Smith, Pastor Marvin Smith, preaches a lot on spiritual warfare. He came down and he preached at our church. And I remember after the first night, I thought, man, he is going to destroy our church. Or make it a lot better. Because the way he was preaching, you had to make decisions after the message. I mean, he was just putting it out there, making it real clear that you're either on this side or that side. You're either walking in God's will or against God. I thought, man, this may not be good for my church. That's a carnal thought. Sometimes you have to make difficult decisions to serve the Lord. To follow the Lord, the devil will stir things up when you begin to make decisions and say, you know, I'm gonna stand out as a young person. I'm not gonna be like everybody else. I'm gonna be different. The devil will begin to stir things up. You know, don't let a hard week at work or a rude comment or a family fight destroy the decisions that you've made for God. How often have we... I was playing golf the other day and I hit a really good ball. It was close to the green, if anybody knows that. It was kind of... It went through the woods because I started out in the woods. It went through the woods and made it close to the green. But there happened to be some guys right up there close to the green. And because I was starting out in the woods, I didn't think that it would make it that far. Man, they began to cuss me. And my pride wanted to respond negatively. But God gave me an opportunity to show who lives in here. Man, when I got up there, they were bowed up. They were ready to take me on, and they would have whooped me. But I had to humble myself and apologize. How many opportunities do we miss to show God in our life? God gives us opportunity, open door, to witness to somebody. To show somebody at your work that you're not the same person you used to be. And we miss it. We miss the opportunity. We allow somebody's rude comment or just a rough week to destroy the things that God's doing in our life. The bigger the door is, the greater the battle. Romans 8, verse 31, it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us?" Isn't that good? If God is for us, who could be against us? You know, if there's someone against you, they are not on the winning side. Amen? Because God is on our side. There's a lot of times in my life I have been discouraged and just wanted to quit. I've entertained that many of times because of those difficulties of the doors that we go through following the Lord, those difficulties that come in our life. There's been many times where I've just... I just thought, I can't go any further. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've questioned. You know, this is not anything that I've discussed with anybody in my family. I don't think I've ever told anybody in my family, I just can't do it anymore. But it's went through my mind many a times. Just because there's opposition doesn't mean you need to quit. You're right where God wants you. Right where God wants you. Whenever you're going through those times, fear of what might go wrong keeps many from doing what is right. How many times do we not go through the door that God has opened because of fear something may not work out? You know, we have started 5 churches in Bolivia, and one of those is not what I wish it was. It has changed over the years. It was one of the first churches that I started. You know, fear of making a mistake, fear of failure will keep you from going through the door that God has for you. The opportunity that God has for you. Numbers 14, verse 9, it says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know, what a great perspective. Israel saw the giants, the 12, the 10 that spies that went in. They saw the giants. And Caleb and Joshua, what did they see? They saw an opportunity. They saw an opportunity they saw what God could do if they stepped into what God wanted them to do. You know, you can either focus on the problem or God's promises. I believe we must decide to walk by fear or faith. Fanny Crosby, she had a lot of reasons not to do what she did in life. Wrote thousands, I believe, thousands of hymns. There was a lot of opposition there, a lot of problems and things. But man, things don't have to be perfect for you to serve God. God just needs a willing heart. Maybe you feel inadequate to do the job God has asked you to do, to go through the door that God has asked you to go through. Doesn't everybody? I know I do. The one that feels God calls them to a field and they're like, yeah, I can dominate that. I think they've got a problem. Amen? When God says, I want you to step out by faith and give this amount to missions, and you're like, oh yeah, no problem. I think we got too much stock in ourselves. Most of us feel inadequate when God begins to call. Because it's a big job. It's a big job. There's some that have just been broken because they've went out and begin to try to do what God has asked them to do and begin to walk through those doors that God has opened and they've found heartache and problems and they're broken. They feel like, I've tried that. I think we ought to get up and try again. Man, Get up and try again. Maybe you feel disqualified. You know what? God's not going to call you to anything that you are disqualified to do. Going back to, is it God? God is not going to call you to do something that He would go against His Word for you to do. God uses imperfect people. Thank the Lord for that. You know, many people don't ever, I mean, they come to church, but they sit in the pews and they feel like, you know, I just really can't do anything because I've just wrecked my life. God says there's opportunity for you. There's places, there's things that you can do that some of these other people cannot do. I've got just the job for you. But many a times we say, you know, I just can't do anything, disqualified, whatever. You know, God would not leave us here on this earth if He didn't have a purpose for us. If He was done with you, you'd be in heaven, amen. He's got a purpose for you. God blesses obedient servants. God blesses obedient servants. The reward is worth the cost. God honors your faithfulness. And I know many of you know that. Know that. You've lived it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you don't know that tonight, I want to just say it again. Right there it says, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. The things that you do for God is not in vain. Don't take it lightly. Others may not see what you do. You may do a lot for this church, but nobody has any idea what you do. God knows. God knows. There's people that clean. There's people that, I mean, there's just things that maybe others don't know about. God knows. The rewards are eternal. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. You know, it says, there is laid up for me. God has, if you've been in that door, if you've been doing His will, if you've been, when He opens up the door and you've been following His will, there is a recompense. Or is that the word I'm looking for? I was thinking Spanish a little bit and I don't know if it's the right word. Serving God's worth it. It may cost you a little comfort, relationships. I don't believe anybody's regretted obeying God. Many have regretted to not obeying God earlier in life. Earlier in life. That's, young people, listen to me. That's why you get the counsel you get. That's why, because People have walked the same road that you will. And I understand. Young people don't understand that. Young people don't understand that you have passed the same direction. You have had some of the same things go on in your life, and you want things to be better for them. So the godly counsel we give. That same way as pastor, sometimes giving us direction, you think, you know, I don't know. I don't know about that. Just trying to help you. Just trying to help you. You won't regret serving the Lord. Step through the doors God has for you. It may scare you what He has for you. I think back and the opportunities the Lord has given me, and I am greatly blessed because I've got to meet people in places I never thought I would go. I've got to preach in places I never thought I would be in. I got to see things. You know, but if God years ago would have told me, this is what's where I'm taking you, this is where you're going, I would have been scared to death of some of those things. I just want to encourage you. There will be opposition, but it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Will you make a decision? God, whatever you put in front of me, whatever direction you have for me, I'm ready. Here I am. Use me, send me, I'll go. Let's stand tonight. Lord, I thank you again for tonight. Lord, just thank you for your people here. God, it is a holiday weekend, but Lord, I thank you for them coming and being a part of their church that they love and cherish. And Lord, I thank you for the ones that have made decisions over their life to just continue to walk through the doors that you open in their life. God, I pray that you would, maybe some are in between decisions right now. God, I pray you would make it clear your direction in their life. Help them to have wisdom in the decisions that are made. And God, we will give you all the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.